It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Making news on the bye week. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and that would be the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Perloff. I'm sure he gets paid a lot, but this is not a job that I'm envious of, because you got to figure out what the heck is going on with the future of maybe one of the most unpopular quarterbacks in their own city, which is really saying something, considering it is the Cleveland Browns. It's been a revolving door of QBs. Deshaun Watson has got a torn Achilles. And so Andrew Berry, their general manager, was asked about his future, and the answers were pretty plain, but then one of them got people's ears sort of perked up.
Really? Okay, I want to hear this, because like I don't understand, what choice does this dude have?
Great question.
But okay.
$100 million, but 170, excuse me, that they still owe to Deshaun Watson. It might go down as the worst contract of all time. So here's a little of what we mean. So here's the general manager of the Cleveland Browns yesterday, Andrew Berry, on whether Deshaun Watson can come back and play for the Browns.
Is there a world in which Deshaun Watson can come back here and play more football for you guys again?
Yeah, I think that's always possible, Mary Kay.
Always possible. That's likely slash probable slash you would expect it. I mean, it's Achilles, Perloff. We just saw Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers both come back from them in almost record time. Those guys are both older than Deshaun Watson. This is not a career-ending injury, so why would it be possible? Wouldn't it be, of course, we're holding the fort until this guy comes back.
Have you watched the Cleveland Browns? Are we talking about the same team? Have you watched the Cleveland Browns? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Nobody in the right mind who has watched the Browns this year thinks that Deshaun Watson is coming back to quarterback that team next year. First of all, unlike Kirk Cousins, who was not healthy at the beginning of the year, Deshaun has to move as a quarterback. Kirk Cousins can stand in the pocket. Like, Deshaun's not going to be back by the beginning of next season off an Achilles. Like,
why wouldn't he be?
Because he can't move. Like, those Rodgers and Cousins limp around the field. It's hard to watch. Like, that's not, Deshaun Watson can't do that. He's a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, but again, he's younger than them. I would imagine, like, I don't have.
Not that much younger.
I think the new expectation for Achilles, depending on obviously when you rupture it, but he did it even earlier than Kirk Cousins did last year. So it was, what, week six, I think, for Deshaun Watson? It wasn't until week eight for Kirk Cousins. Like, he has gotten, it's well within a fan's expectation that even if he can't start the year, that he at least would be playing the majority of the games in the next season. And honestly, I'd expect him to start the year.
But wait, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, you know they're drafting a quarterback, right? Okay. You're aware of this headline.
I understand the reality is that the Browns are probably picking in the top five. They have the second hardest remaining schedule left. They're playing with Jameis Winston, who's always up and down. You never know what you're going to get from him. Wildly inconsistent, which is why he's a backup quarterback. And they're not going to win a lot of games here. But I just ask you, what does that actually look like? So they draft a quarterback. That's fine. What do you do with Deshaun?
He just sits there like he did in Houston.
And what's that going to be?
So who cares? Like, he has no leverage. Like, they don't have to worry about him. He's just there.
Perloff, you're talking about cap hits of over $70 million.
Right, which are there one way or the other, right? So they have no choice. They just have to kind of suck it up, right? So, and then they draft a quarterback or they sign a quarterback, and Deshaun, I'm sure he's going to be on IR most of next season, and he's just there. Like, on the side. Like, hey, who's that over there? Oh, that's Deshaun Watson. Remember him? He used to be in the NFL. There's no possible way that this plays out any other way.
Wow. I think you're, like, we couldn't even have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. That was a competition. That was a controversy. How about this? Even better. Remember when the Chicago Bears had Justin Fields last year and they had the number one overall pick? And people were like, oh, you could just have Fields and Caleb Williams there together. And that's untenable. You're telling me that somehow Deshaun Watson, who's still owed all this money, who in his mind definitely still thinks that he's a starting quarterback in this league, is just going to want to sit on the side while the third overall pick, Cam Ward, someone like that, goes in and plays?
How do you know that Deshaun Watson still thinks of himself as an NFL starter?
Because his body.
Well, his body's been brutalized. Like, that's the other thing, dude. Compare him to Kirk Cousins all you want. This guy has had every injury under the sun the last 4 years. It's completely different. Like, he's like that guy, and this is a dated reference, the Monty Python knight who gets all his limbs cut off. Like, there's not a single
flesh wound.
There's not a healthy part of his body. Like, I feel like there's no way he's going to be physically ready to play football.
So you think his career's over?
And also, too. No, I think he hangs around and eventually in 2 years comes back from this injury and tries to make it. The other thing, too, is obviously there's something going on mentally with Deshaun Watson. Like, he hasn't recovered. Recovered feels like the wrong word, but he's never been the same after all that legal trouble. So you have a double thing. He's the most injured quarterback in the NFL, and he's got a deal, clearly has emotional baggage. I think you don't have to be in his head to realize something's going on there.
No, but that's all something that, you know, again, why there were major red flares that were sent up in the air before the Browns even committed all this money, the draft picks, everything to a guy in such a unique circumstance. He had not played, and then he had 20-plus women accusing him of all these things. And then you decide, hey, this is a good time to give him the most guaranteed money of any contract of all time. So people don't feel bad for them. I guess I'm just thinking about the real life. Like, you're kind of, I think, a little bit, and forgive me here, it's like a little fantasy land. Like, there's actual real, your plan to just have him on the side is like,
but they did it
that's not real.
They did it in Houston.
Well, that's because he decided he wanted to keep himself out.
Yeah, I can't see him. I mean, maybe he puts up a little fight here saying, I want to try and play, but I don't even think he's got that fight in him. I'd be shocked. Like, there's a wow. Like, I think I'm like, wow, you like think Deshaun Watson's going to be the quarterback again in Cleveland? Like, I don't think anybody thinks that.
Well,
I think Andrew Berry had a great blow-off answer. Everyone knows they're stuck with his dead cap. And I think if they trade him, the money gets even higher. So, and no one's going to take him.
Yeah.
So you're just stuck with him. You have no choice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're stuck with him. You have no choice. Which
you think this could be a huge problem going down.
I do think it's going to be a massive problem. He couldn't have Joe Flacco in the building. Flacco behind him. That was too much. So you're telling me Cam Ward, who else could be a top draft pick this year?
Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Like, Shedeur, who's going to come over and probably win people over immediately, because I think once he gets away from Deion, people are actually going to really like him a lot. I think he actually is likable and he's good at football or whatever. That is going to be such an explosive potential powder keg, and the Browns are the worst team to deal with something like that because they never handle PR stuff well.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm in fantasy land. I don't think it's going to be as big a deal. I do not think you're going to see Deshaun Watson in uniform week one next year. I think he's going to be, because listen, he could barely get on the field before this injury. This is a torn Achilles. Like, he was hurt. Like, he lost last year with a shoulder injury, but there's also lower leg stuff going on. He's not healthy, and I think they know that, and they're just going to sort of park him there and take the salary cap hit and build a new guy.
I don't think Deshaun's going to go away that quietly. You're talking about basically like his spirit has been broken along with his body. I don't think that's the case. I think Deshaun has shown you he's defiant in the face of a lot of this stuff. I think that he still believes he's a franchise quarterback. I bet he's like, look at my offensive line. You know, look at this, look at that. They changed the entire offensive coaching staff outside of Stefanski this offseason, which nobody has really answered the question why. And I think he's going to make it a problem. And by the way, let's not forget this. Remember what Deshaun did in Houston, right? He didn't like the owner. And so he sat out. Like, this dude will make it messy. And he's got money. I think he's been empowered by this organization. I think you have made your bed here with Deshaun. You've given him a certain amount of power because of the contract. It just comes with it. It's inherent. And I think he's going to use it to the nth degree, whether it's demanding a trade, whether it's being a pain in the ass. He will make it messy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think those days are gone. I think Deshaun has no power because he's been so bad. I don't know that he has that fight left in him anymore to make it messy. I think Andrew Berry's answer was like, we speak GM here, right? Like, there's hands. My hands are tied, Mary Kay. There's nothing I can do here.
Yeah,
that's what I heard in that thing. It's like, because I think the cap hit gets way worse if they cut him.
It is.
So basically, they have to hold on to him and just sit and weather that storm. There's no good solution out of this. I think he was almost done already in Cleveland before he got hurt. Although he's playing a little better. He had like a few moments where at least he was like a medium NFL quarterback towards the end. Right? Wasn't he 15 and 17 in the game he got hurt? He could complete short passes. No, I don't think that anyone in Cleveland at the front office or in the fan base has this fantasy that Deshaun Watson is going to be the starting quarterback again. I think those days are gone. And you're right. I might be in fantasy land. It might be problematic. I don't even think this is an issue for Andrew Berry. I don't think he's thinking about this for a second.
This is the number one thing he has to think of. How is he going to navigate this?
Well, I mean, he's got to keep his coach. Like, I think he's got to keep his job. That's number one. He's got to keep Kevin Stefanski. That's number two. I don't think he said, what is there to think about? There's no there. He has no choice, Maggie. His hands are so tied in this.
See, I think he's got to figure out how he's going to get out of this. I don't think just keeping Deshaun on the side is actually tenable. Not with a fan base as rabid as Cleveland.
So you think they cut him?
No, I don't know what they do. I actually don't know if they do get muscled into not drafting a quarterback or drafting one later, like third round or something where it's not as so directly confrontational potentially to Deshaun. I have no idea because they've painted themselves into this corner that expert after expert, former front office people have told us, Perloff, this contract feels so ironclad in how destructive it can be to the rest of your salary cap and team building that they're just sort of forced to make it work with Deshaun. And the other part about Watson, and we're talking about the general manager of the Cleveland Browns coming out yesterday, and the quote was, could you see Deshaun Watson playing for the Browns again? He said, I think that's always possible.
Right.
But here's the thing. The only way Deshaun, who I think really prided himself on having a good reputation before all the accusations came out, the only way he gets even close to back in the good graces of people is by winning football games. That's like probably a terrible reflection on us as a society, but the only way he gets a second chance is if he shows that he's good again. And I think he needs that more than oxygen. And so that's why I don't think he's going to go quietly away here. I think he's probably feels like I got to get my old reputation back. I got to get myself back because, you know, you and I would interview him a lot. He was making the rounds all the time before this would happen where people thought he was this great guy. And now people think he's a pariah. And also, he's not good at football right now. So he's got a million reasons to want to rehab in his body and his image.
Yeah, I think all that. That's a long time ago. I think that ship has sailed in my mind. I don't think that's where he is, really. I think, that's the post-Houston Deshaun Watson. I think him and this team have been beat down by this situation. They're done. I mean, maybe, I think that this rehab, like, they're going to take your time. You saw Kirk Cousins, right? We're talking about Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
Similar time. Did you see him in week one? Like, it looked like he was like, I thought the man was going to need a wheelchair to get off the field. And he was fine. Like, you do. And look at Aaron Rodgers. How many times have we seen Aaron Rodgers limp? That's these pocket quarterbacks. Deshaun runs all the time. Okay. There's no way he's on the field next year, especially because they don't want him there. So he's going to be injured, and they're just going to keep him on the side. And even if he complains about it, I don't think he has any leverage. So I think they're going to draft a quarterback. I think they're going to keep Kevin Stefanski. It's going to be one of these Matt Schaub, roll to the right, play action quarterbacks. It's going to be, it's new. It's start over. They have the huge cap. There's nothing they can do. They are stuck on this course. And Andrew Berry is blowing that off because he knows he has no options here.
Man, that is bleak. 855-212-4227.
Let's not forget. It's not that bleak, but you're starting over. You're starting over.
I know, but think about it. You just went all in. You brought back all these key players from last year. They spent $325 million on a win-now roster that they are slowly selling off all the pieces. That's not 3 years ago they did this. That's recently. Like, this is a stunning fall.
Right, but you could turn around so fast in the NFL. I think that you might have two really bad years, but look at the Commanders. Look at the Broncos after they have that massive hit from Russell Wilson. All of a sudden, they have a winning record. I think there's, again, this is a league of hope. So say they draft, say, Cam Ward, like, hey, it's on again. You know, it'd take 2 years. Eventually, this money's going to come off the books. So I think the big question in Cleveland is, do we want Andrew Berry, the GM, to make the next quarterback choice? And do we want Kevin Stefanski? And you know how I feel about that. I think, like, Stefanski is the best coach they're going to get by a mile. Because here's another question. Say they decide, I don't like what you're saying, Andrew Barry. We're going to fire you.
Right.
They fire the coach. Like, who's coming to save it? Who's coming in the front office or coach? Who wants to coach this team? You think Cliff Kingsbury is going to go take a job in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson eating up $100 million of cap space?
Listen, I think that's probably what the money's going to be for. You're going to have to really overpay for a coach.
And
listen,
like you did with the quarterback.
Right. Get yourself into more trouble. At least the coach doesn't count against the cap.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, look at Denver. They had to give up a draft pick to get Sean Payton. I hope that Cleveland doesn't do that.
I know. A guy who openly said, I need to go to a place where I can golf all year round.
Well, like, that's a big factor. Cleveland, the golf situation is not great.
It's not going to be awesome. It's way too cold there. All right, 855-212-4227. There's another part of this, Pearl, that I think maybe because you went through the process in Philadelphia or something like that, you're kind of immune to this, that you're glossing when it comes to fans. Like, you're kind of like, well, all right, didn't work, so now we're going to tear it all down to the studs and we're going to start over again. Like, that's painful.
There's nobody, there's not a, find me a person in Cleveland, and you can call into the show, that had any hope that this, like, it's done. Like, they know this, the Deshaun Watson era and any expectation that came with it are a distant memory. I don't even think they remember when there was hope there.
But the fact that, like, this is going to happen and everyone gets to keep their job, no heads are going to roll, and you just say, well, we chalked it up to, we just made this really big expensive mistake and it set us back. Like, I think there's a real life aspect of this that you might be missing, because again, I know fans are savvier than ever. We're smarter than ever. We get rebuilds. We understand dead cap and salary caps and how you got to navigate this world. This is still an epic, colossal failure that of all the LOL Cleveland things that we've had, it's at the top of the list.
Absolutely not.
And they once accidentally projected porn onto a wall in their team facility. I got Manny's attention with that. That actually happened they were using the hashtag, like, double something. I don't know. I remember the story from a while ago. This is at the top of the list of embarrassing
things. This isn't even top five. Not even top five.
Oh, my God.
I mean, do you remember Hugh Jackson? Like, do you remember on Hard Knocks when Freddie Kitchens and Todd Haley got in a fight? Like, this is a team that won one game in two seasons. Like,
that's way less embarrassing than you gave $230 million to someone who was accused of being like a serial predator.
Really,
way more embarrassing than two coaches getting into it on Hard Knocks, which like 500,000 people watch.
Fans don't care about that. They care about they care that the team is bad. Like, this is not 2017, 18 around then, that was the worst. That was all time bad. This is bad, but it was a mistake. Here's the thing. I mean, Cleveland made that mistake. There were five other teams waiting right behind them to make the same mistake.
Yep, but they're the ones who went the extra mile.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, like, this is definitely not as bad as what was going on with Hugh and Freddie and those guys. To say this is number one, it's not even, I mean, this is a franchise. This is definitely not a top five low moment, because you had the fumble, the drive, like, there's the move. Like, this is not, there's no way for Cleveland Browns, like, this is a bottom five. I don't even think it's top, maybe not even bottom 10.
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. 855-212-4227. I wish we could just, like, go to Cleveland and stand outside of a sports bar or something today and just give us your lowest moments as a Browns fan. This one would definitely come in.
They went 1-15 and 0-16 in back-to-back years under Hugh Jackson. Are you aware of that?
Oh, I am aware of that, but that's your Sam Hinkie process.
They were not trying to lose. They were not trying to go 0-16.
They got Baker Mayfield out of it.
Baker Mayfield wasn't even like a general. Like, Baker Mayfield was sort of, oh, okay, I guess we'll take this guy. No, that they were bad.
I know they were bad.
I think you're underestimating. That was a very, very bad era of Cleveland Browns football.
I know, but at least they have the Lions as company with a winless season. It was, you know, they're not the only ones to ever do it.
Right,
they were the only ones to give the most guaranteed money of all time to somebody who had turned out to be a colossal zero.
Yeah, but they, again, like, come on. I mean, did we know at the time, like, we were, like, excited for the Browns when they outbid Atlanta. They outbid two other teams. Like, at the time, none of us had any idea. And the other thing, too, is they'll just fall back that Deshaun got hurt.
Can we put, I guess the poll question would be, is this a top five low moment for the Cleveland Browns? Do
what you said. Is it the lowest moment?
Okay, lowest. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Lowest moment. Is this the lowest moment for Browns fans that now they can't even commit to Deshaun Watson? Like, this has been a total cluster. I'm curious what the results are on this one. 855-212-4227. Okay, so much to do, including I got to hear about your prize picks from last night.
Let's move on. No, I'm just kidding. I'm so psyched to get back into tonight. Went into NBA last night. I did not nail it, but I got to tell you, the best thing about Prize Picks, every day, Maggie. It's so much fun. You know, we got so many sports going on now. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars of award-winning. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy accessible to all, simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projection, and you can win up to 100 times your money. Now, listen, I'm really into Maxion this year, so I'm trying. I have to be honest, I don't know most of the players, but that's fun. I love Prize Picks because it gives me a little extra juice when Bowling Green is on TV.
How about this? Can I interest you in tonight? Would you like to combine a little Joe Burrow passing yards with Giannis Antetokounmpo points, rebounds, assists? That's just one of the combinations you could have on Prize Picks right now. So what do? You download the Prize Picks app, super easy, and then you pick more or less on the projection of two or more players across any sport. There's Wembanyama for you. There's Lauri Markkanen for you. There's Lamar Jackson, save Flowers. Guys, this stuff is fun. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code MNP, MANDP, to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MANDP on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus, Perloff. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
MANDP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. You know, we were talking about Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, was noncommittal on whether Deshaun Watson would ever play again in Cleveland. Maggie thinks this is a bottom moment, like one of the worst moments in Browns history. I think this is sort of business as usual for Cleveland. But I mean, there was nothing worse when they were in Hard Knocks and the offensive coordinator and the running backs coach almost got in a fist fight. And then one of them won that battle, I guess. But there was a line that I think there's a narrative killer, something you've been saying that it proves it wrong. You said that NBA winning coach of the year doesn't mean anything. So Andrew Berry, for some reason, came into this press conference with receipts about the fact that Kevin Stefanski is the youngest coach to win coach of the year twice, and that of multiple coach of the year winners, 13 of them, 10 have won the Super Bowl. So
saw that. Didn't he also drop some Hall of Fame stats on there too?
I think Andrew Berry is trying to sell Kevin Stefanski to the fan base for the future, which kind of means maybe Andrew Berry's coming back too, but who knows? It's the Browns. Anything could happen with that owner. But I thought that was interesting. And the other thing that made me think about, we know who the coach, I'm so certain, and we're going to do second half predictions later in the show. I am so certain of who the coach of the year is. It's done.
Oh, I looked at the betting market.
It's Dan Quinn
by
50 miles.
Yeah, like, he's leading the by fact a healthy margin.
You can win in Washington. Like, I don't care if they lose every game out. He's like, they should make a statue for that guy.
Well, don't you think that's happening a little in Cleveland? Doesn't Kevin Stefanski get a little bit of a bump because he was able to piece things together? And it's Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
So was he really worthy of those two Coach of the Year awards?
Yes.
But it's like you're getting graded on a curve just like Dan Quinn.
Well, right.
Because Bill Belichick, how many times did he win it? Not six.
No.
Not one for every Super Bowl he brought.
But there is something interesting to that stat that I was actually floored. I was like, in the NBA, basically, like, Monty Williams or George Karl, anybody wins it, like, they're gone in a year.
Dwayne Casey, it's just a death knell for that guy.
Yeah, so it does seem like the NFL, that maybe there's more to that award than we think. Well, anyway, I thought that was interesting. It was weird. Like, Andrew Berry said pretty much nothing the whole press conference. Then he had, like, a resume of Kevin Stefanski that he presented to the press.
I wasn't sure if that was for the ownership.
Yes, I think it was.
Maybe for a future employer. I don't know. But, yeah, they're both in it together. Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Nate's our pal in Alaska. Nate, you have a thought on this as a big Bucks fan.
I do. I have a little bit of a thought. First off, I wanted to tell Perloff that I want to let you know this whole year, no bear sightings. Just to let you know.
Phew. Really? Well,
what a relief.
Only moose.
So when did they go into hibernation, Nate? Are they done now?
Oh, they're already in hibernation. We just got our big snowfall just about 2 days before Halloween.
And you're in Juneau or?
No, where? I'm in Anchorage.
Oh, you're in Anchorage. Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad to know it still snows somewhere in this world.
There's a mom and a cub just right outside my house. So I had to warn a guy because he was walking his dog, and I was like, don't go that way.
Yeah, yeah. Now you can. Okay, so we're in hibernation. You can take the dogs anywhere.
Remember, Nate was telling us that he saw a dog at the drive, or a dog, excuse me, a bear at the drive-thru of a KFC.
Yes, that was it. You are correct. First bear I ever saw that. So all my years of living here was just in town.
So. Wow, that's awesome.
But, yeah, anyways, I was actually trying to get to, I don't know why the Bucks didn't reach out to Mike Williams. I thought that we should take Mike Williams. That's an easy complimentary to having Evans and Williams with Godwin being gone. And I don't know why. I feel like that's a missed opportunity that we didn't take. We didn't do anything in the draft, or the not the draft, excuse me.
The trade deadline.
The trade deadline.
Yeah.
Nate, I think they're waving the white flag.
Really? Why would they do that? I know they lost two to the Falcons, but you're still in it. You're going to have Evans is coming back. Godwin's not, but Evans is coming back this year. I'm with Nate here. You should have done something to hold the four.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that, but I think the fact that they did not trade for a wide receiver and they're rolling out with Sterling Shepard and Trey Palmer says that they waving the white flag. I mean, I think they know, like, why would we trade? We're not a Super Bowl team. Maybe we'll win this division again, but, like, what's the point of that, Nate?
I just think that I think he would be an excellent complementary to Evans. Like, Mike Williams is a number one receiver. You have somebody that can throw to him. Then why would you not, especially when he's on the trading block, because we all know that Aaron Rodgers decided.
Yeah, and he ended up going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So here's the thing, Nate. I want to give you some hope here, and thank you so much for the call, and we're always up for bear updates. Like, that's our that's hitting us right in all the places we love. So here's who would be ahead of the Bucks right now in terms of the playoffs. Tell me how safe you think any of these teams are, right? Five, six. Okay. Arizona, Chicago Bears, the Rams, the 49ers. There are teams in there that I think we will not expect to actually be in the playoffs at the end of the season. You're telling me Arizona's a lock? You're telling me the Chicago's a lock? The Rams?
You're not even talking about the NFC South. You're talking about the last wild card spot.
Exactly.
When has the NFC South gotten that last wild card spot?
This could be the year it breaks right for them.
It's breaking exactly wrong. If anything's breaking, it's legs. They are not, nothing is breaking. They've lost four in a row. What are you talking about?
I think there's still a possibility. And yeah, are the Bucks a Super Bowl team? No, but not everybody has the goal of Super Bowl. I know that's sacrilegious to say, but I think some fan bases are cool with you making the playoffs. They did it last year. They won a game against your Philadelphia Eagles. They go to Detroit. They were in that game. They've had some bad injury luck, but... Yeah, well, again, they're getting Evans back.
They do have an easy schedule. I actually didn't see this. They got San Francisco coming up, and I don't think Evans is practicing yet, so he won't be there for that. So then they got the Giants, at the Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, Cowboys, Carolina, New Orleans. So you're right, but what's the point of going 9-8 and making the playoffs?
Again, I think the point is they want to make the playoffs. Even if they know they're not a Super Bowl contender deep down.
Yeah. But it's hard to say that today because they've lost five or six games. It does feel really down. And Buccaneer, like, I can't believe Sterling Shepard was out there balling like that. I'm still shocked by that. How come nobody told me Sterling Shepard was still around? And if anybody says that they knew that, I'm calling them out, because that was one of the biggest surprises of the NFL season. I'm like, is that Sterling Shepard's son is already in the NFL? Remember I said that to you?
Yes.
I feel really old. No, that's still Sterling Shepard. But Kate Otten is the baller. Can we talk? Nobody's into the Kate Otten story like me.
Bogish is offended.
No, that's why they didn't trade for a wide receiver. You sat here Tuesday morning and told me how good Kate Otten was.
Kate Otten is unstoppable.
Yeah, they don't need Mike Williams, who, by the way, stinks. So I don't expect him to walk into Pittsburgh and go crazy.
Not a number one receiver. I love Nate, though, but, he's not a number one.
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's a problem. I did see a highlight reel of Mike Williams with the Chargers. He was good at one point.
At one point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. At one point, I think Nate is thinking, and I think other people are thinking, like, well, will that guy come back once he's fully healthy?
We'll see. Yeah. Bogish is here. He's got headlines for us with a really cool Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome.
Trying to be as cool as possible with all these whippersnappers walking around here like Manny.
You can watch the show at youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Where'd you get that?
This is from a company called Baseballism. It's a great site. A lot of great baseball stuff.
Do the young whippersnappers know who that is?
Yeah. Griffey is hugely popular with young kids because there's a lot of gear and he's just still cool. He's he's held up well.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Exactly. Headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MNP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Manned P.
Steve Kerr was in Boston last night for the first time since this summer's drama surrounding Jason Tatum's Olympic playing time. The Warriors head coach asked pregame if he had any regrets.
The whole thing was, hey, we're in this together. We got 12 Hall of Famers, and we're just committed to winning, and we won the gold medal. So I don't give it a whole lot of thought other than, yeah, I didn't enjoy, not playing Jason against Serbia, not playing Joel against South Sudan. Those are not fun decisions.
Celtic fans then had their say pregame. Nicely done by PA announcer Eddie Palladino to pause and allow the boos to build up there. Kerr stopped working the whiteboard to wave to the crowd as he was introduced. And then he's...
Okay, I'm sorry. If I'm Drew Holiday or if I'm Derek White, I'm actually offended by this. Because I was out there for like 20 minutes a game. And so none of you in Boston, none of these big fans, no. You don't care that I actually was playing.
I think they should be thrilled. Steve Kerr said they're going to the Hall of Fame, no doubt. No conversation.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah. Halliburton, the baby. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Okay.
Two tones tie? Get out of here.
All right. So Kerr spoke.
Is that because his voice sounds different all the time?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Kerr spoke, the fans booed, the Warriors won.
Curry dribbles in the paint, goes all the way, scooped to the hoop, over White. It's up and good. 104-99, 2:23 to go in the game.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio. Curry scored 27 in a 118-112 final in Boston. The Dubs have won 5 in a row. Tatum, by the way, scored 32 in defeat. Paul George booed in his return to L.A. He scored 18. The Sixers lost to the Clippers 110-98. The Nuggets gave the Thunder their first loss, 124-122 in Denver. Nikola Jokic, 23 points, 20 rebounds, and 16 assists. And the Suns stayed hot, 115-112 over the Heat. That's 6 in a row for Phoenix. Kevin Durant scored 32. The UConn men debuted with a 92-56 rout of Sacred Heart last night. Alex Caravan began his season with 20 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks. And John Calipari won his Arkansas debut, 76-60 over Lipscomb. Top freshman Boogie Flan, 17 points and 3 assists in his first college game. Apparently Manny knows him because he just raised his hand.
New York City.
I broadcasted his games at Stepanek.
It.
Yeah, Archbishop
okay.
Stepanek.
Is his real name Boogie?
His real name is John Well, but his name is Boogie.
Y'all call him Boogie.
It's a good nickname.
He used to dance a lot as a child, so that's why he got the nickname Boogie. I digress. Keep going, Boogie.
That's
See?
Cute.
That's a broadcasting nugget right there.
Yeah, I love it. Nah, I will never forget that.
Yes, you will.
Like 5 minutes. Yeah. No, in a week, probably going to be like, have you seen this guy, Boogie?
Yeah.
We talked about that.
I already forgot what school he went to, by the way.
What, Arkansas?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good news for the Cowboys. Only part of Dak Prescott's hamstring tendon apparently ripped off the bone Sunday in Atlanta.
Only part?
That type of injury would require more than 4 weeks off. Dak is not yet on IR, apparently, as he seeks multiple opinions on how to treat the injury. Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely is out. Bengals receiver T. Higgins is doubtful for Thursday night football. Free agent third baseman Alex Bregman had a bone chip removed from his right elbow. He'll resume swinging in a few weeks. Connor McDavid was back a week early from an ankle injury, but his Oilers lose to Vegas 4-2. And finally, Maction again. Northern Illinois giving Western Michigan its first league loss this fall, 42-28. Guys, back to you.
By the way, Tyrese Halliburton, Hall of Famer. I will bet anybody hear that.
Dude makes gets in that Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, and he's going to make the All-Star team every year. He'll probably have 10 All-Stars.
Maybe the Indiana Hall of Fame. He's making the NBA Hall of Fame, no doubt. I mean, listen, he's probably already, the way the basketball Hall of Fame works, he's probably already in.
The court's already named after him.
Yeah. This is step one. He's probably like, where did he go to college? Iowa or somewhere?
Iowa State?
Iowa State, yeah. He's probably already in based on his Iowa State career. It's so easy to get in that Hall of Fame.
I mean, Jerry West is in three times, which I thought of yesterday.
Yeah.
three different ways.
He's definitely into the Hall of Fame.
Would this be the longest term bet on this show? Because that's at least, 15 years away?
Yeah.
It's a long ways away. Yeah, Penny Hardaway's not in the Hall of Fame.
Penny Hardaway? Yeah.
You think Two-Tones Ty is going to get in and Penny's not in there?
Tyrese Haliburton is not getting in.
Love that somehow Prof and I are like in rocking chairs. Yeah. We're like 80 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, you better dump that honey over your head. I won. Tyrese Halliburton's grandchild has made it. He scored 20 points last night. do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised you guys don't like Tyrese Halliburton. Everybody likes that guy.
No, we do. It's just...
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
You can like somebody. And
you know who else? Anybody who makes any Olympic team and play and doesn't get hurt immediately afterwards, Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah. It's contributions to the game. He did contribute to a gold medal, but everyone can't shut up about how he didn't play enough in the dumbest controversy of all time. You won. What's the point of this? And again, if I'm Derek White, if I'm Drew Holiday, I'm mad at our own fans.
Get out of here.
Are we not here? We don't exist?
No.
We're
in
crunch time. Derek White.
They're aware that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are the bigger. That's why Derek White's there, because he knows he's not a star. So they defer to the stars. That's their superpower.
Hall of Famer Derek White.
Probably. But here's the thing. Don't you always want your star player just not to get hurt at the Olympics? Ask 76ers. Joel Embiid's not going to play until May because he happened to play Olympic basketball.
Which May?
Steve Curry, May 28.
Yeah, I mean, Mavs fans didn't want Luka over there, but that is not the case with this. This was ridiculous. That Jaylen Brown was on the team was stupid.
All right, but then when the Celtics win another title next summer, I want Steve Kerr on a float in the parade for creating the motivation that led to the repeat.
I know. I agree. I think, we haven't had a repeat champion since the Warriors in 18 until Steve Kerr decided to bench Tatum. Now we have a repeat champion. Although the Warriors won last night, which I don't understand.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Well, no Jaylen Brown.
Still, I mean, I would think that the Celtics would be fired up for this game, and I guess that only lasts so long.
This
was their big revenge game.
It was 14-3 quick, and then after that it was
nothing means anything in the NBA.
By the way, it's a reminder, revenge game, it's a gigantically long season. They can't keep that energy going.
Can we go back to at some point to old Maggie and Perloff bet payoffs? 10 steps without a walker.
Yeah.
Stay up past 8 o'clock.
You have to eat these potatoes, but they're not mashed.
I know. Who can drink more prune juice?
Stay up past
without
7 o'clock.
Puking.
We could do stay up past 7 o'clock now.
Honestly. I think
everybody here could.
I didn't even see 8:30 last night.
Oh, you have this ability to do that.
My wife said, "You're going to sleep." I said, "Uh-huh." The next thing I knew, my alarm was going off. 7 hours later, it was glorious. I didn't hear a thing.
7 hours for you? That is a lot, dude.
What do you want to do this morning? You want to go out?
Yeah, just shot out of a cannon.
Want to play some basketball after this show?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Bogish, thank you. A very rested Andrew Bogish. Jealous. 855-212-4227. Lots to do. A contender for the Cowboys starting quarterback job. Forgot about this guy. We'll get to him next.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I really enjoyed last segment. Andrew Bogus doing our updates here. Maggie and Perloff show had 7 hours of sleep and shot out of a cannon. One thing he said that Dak Prescott, his hamstring is only partially off his bone. I had a hamstring injury in 2015, and I feel it every day. Hamstring is the worst. This guy is toast for this season, Maggie.
Yeah,
the worst injury. I'd rather just tear my ACL and know what the rehab is. Hamstrings linger forever.
Well, anytime anyone says anything about being ripped off the boat.
Right.
I just...
Unless it's at a restaurant and we're talking about Asabuco, I do not want to hear ripped off the boat. Like, this sounded... I read that headline this last night, and I was like, oh my God, this sounds really, really bad. Why is there not more panic?
I think because the season's in the tank.
Yeah, yep.
If they were actually on their way to another 12-win season, I think there would be some panic. But there's not, because I think most Cowboy fans have thought, well, this is never going to work. It's a circus over there. We've been lied to by the general manager. He continues to gaslight us, saying, oh, we are all in. Well, you're not.
Lied to by the general manager? You mean Jerry?
Yeah. Sorry, the owner.
Yeah. He's not even the general manager or an owner more. He's evolved to even more. He's just Jerry.
I think they're sick of it. I think they are. And I think also the one part of this where I would panic a little bit if I'm a Cowboy fan is, you know, this is not just this year. You are paying Dak now for 4 years, probably more like two, but it's a lot of money. He's definitely over 30.
Oh, yeah.
This is an injury where he had already basically stopped running. He ran a little in this game, ironically, and then he gets hurt with a hamstring injury. So he's already a bit, I would say, diminished. I know he was a runner-up MVP last year, but he doesn't play the same way. And so what's the future like? Not just this year, but the next couple years.
Also, don't forget, he spent all summer in a walking boot and really never explained why. That wasn't good either.
Maintenance. Lingering.
From that really devastating injury from a few years ago, like, he's never recovered, which we talked earlier about, like, certain quarterbacks just never get back on track health-wise.
Yeah, so if you're asking why people are panicking, I think they believe this has just turned into just a terrible season. They probably hope that Mike McCarthy's gone at the end of the year. They hope that, you know, you'll get a new shiny toy of maybe another wide receiver or somewhat fun running back that you can get behind, or the offensive line will get a little bit better. There's not a lot of hope right now.
I will tell you one thing that I disagree with you on, and I think Cowboys fans have more faith in Cooper Rush than maybe you do. Like, the narrative seems to be like, there's not much of a difference. Cooper Rush, Dak Prescott, same. That is definitely, now that I don't know what that says about Dak Prescott, but I'm listening to a lot of quotes coming out of coaches and players like, you know, Cooper, yeah, it's really the same kind of thing. He's 5-1 as a starter, Maggie. That's a big number.
Okay. Is Micah Parsons coming back this week?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Okay, so if Micah's coming back and Deron Bland's coming back, and maybe your defense a little better, this is not the same team that Cooper Rush led to a 4-1 record 2 years ago.
It's not that different.
This is a worse team.
Marginally. What's the difference?
Well, the offensive line has been an issue, and so who does that directly impact? A quarterback.
Yeah. But, I mean, the problem is that you can run on this defense and Saquon Barkley sitting there in Philly getting ready to go.
I mean, do you think he's going to jump forwards or backwards this time? Like, Saquon, is there something else he can do?
Well, I want them to start protecting that dude. Like, you don't need to carry. If they're starting to blow out Dallas, don't give Saquon the ball anymore. Go to Ken Gainwell. But regardless, though, that being said, it's a division game. Micah Parsons might be back. Deron Bland might be back. Cooper Rush has won a lot of games. I don't know why, and this is being cynical, I can just see the Cowboys just like all of a sudden, at least giving like an effort, which we have not seen all season. There was the effort wasn't there against Atlanta. You could notice like they were flat. So maybe this Cooper kickstarts them. You get a little backup quarterback bump, like an interim coach bump.
Are they rallying around Cooper Rush in that kind of way?
I don't know. Maybe this just wakes them up because they look like they were in a stupor, except for a couple guys against Atlanta. They just didn't look all there.
What do you think is more likely to happen? That they all of a sudden this galvanizes the team, or everyone looks around and starts thinking about themselves? And everyone starts thinking about what's the season going to be like for me?
I think Cooper Rush against the Eagles for one quarter, I think you see the Cowboys shot out of a cannon. Then the problem is even at their best game, they can't stop the run. The Eagles eventually run Hurts to the right, run Barkley to the left, and win the game. So I think, yes, I think they galvanize and but the problem is, as you mentioned, there's not a lot of talent.
I think there's a me first mentality on this team, and it starts with Jerry.
So what is that legit? Like, who's not going to show up then?
No, I don't see this team, and maybe they'll prove me wrong. They're front runners. I don't see them as a foxhole team. I don't see them as a team where, you know, you got guys with contract situations that are, some are settled, some are not settled. I think Mike McCarthy is a lame duck head coach. I just, I don't see this as a team where all of a sudden they're going to pull together and go on this like fun underdog feeling run. I don't. I think this is where, and again, I think it starts with the owner. Everyone's looking out for themselves. Like, again, maybe I'll get proved wrong, but I don't see this as a, you know, especially without Dak now, I don't see this as a galvanizing force.
I think that they're going to be serviceable with Cooper Rush. I think he's fine. I mean, he's just like knows how to run the offense. He's got a lot of experience there. You got to remember how young this team is, right? They're like, they have rookies everywhere. So I don't know if those guys know one way or the other. That you, when you have four more years under contract, like there's no playing for you.
I'm not talking about the rookies, but the rookies don't know.
Yeah, like Tyler Guyton and Tyler Smith, they're young. Overshawn, all these guys, like I don't know. They're just going to get a little bit better. I agree with you now. Like there's no, like this is a kind of a rebuilding team. Now, unfortunately for them, they have this gigantic contract, like the Cleveland Browns that we started the show with, looming over them. But the reality is this team's in a rebuild. I mean, when your 35-year-old running back doesn't even show up on time, like it's time to move on.
Right. Zeke Elliott can't get to a meeting. But it's funny to say it's a rebuild when you have the highest paid quarterback right now by average annual. Right. You have the second highest paid wide receiver, and you're about to have one of the highest paid defensive players in Micah Parsons this gets done.
You have a rookie left tackle.
No, I get it, but that when you talk about rebuild, you generally also aren't paying people at the top of the market. Yeah. That's the whole idea of the rebuild. So the Cowboys don't fall under your typical.
No, you're right. It's not ideally, but they don't have a choice. I mean, listen, Tyron Smith got old. Zach Martin's getting old. Like, this is a rebuild whether you want it. Dak Prescott is in trouble.
855-212-4227. Do you see this team being galvanized behind Cooper Rush? That just doesn't sound right.
You're underestimating Cooper Rush. I'm telling you, man, he's going to throw for 214 yards, one touchdown, one pick, and they're going to lose by 7. It's happening, Maggie. It's on.
I can't wait. Coming up, must-win game tonight? Yeah, we're talking about Cincinnati and the Ravens next.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.